Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, and The Game Nashville app. We are live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Game Studios, and we are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every day. Our video streaming is brought to you by Superbook. Joining us now, Teron Davenport. TD, I want to get all your thoughts on the game last night, the Chiefs, the Eagles, but I got to start here because we are all perplexed about Todd Downing's new landing spot. He was just hired as the Jets passing game coordinator. Why do you think the Jets made that move?
Well, you know, whether you choose to believe it or not, he may not be the best play caller, but a lot of his play design was actually pretty good. So I think you have him in that situation to help out with the play design and, you know, not calling the plays, but to bring things to the table. I don't think it's a bad hiring at all. I know, again, that he had his struggles calling the plays here, but, you know, a lot of the times there were things that were set up really well, but it just wasn't properly executed.
TD is with us. Your thoughts on the game last night? There's so many storylines. Jalen Hurts absolutely balling out. Patrick Mahomes coming back in the second half. Looks like a different team offensively. Your takeaways from the Super Bowl last night?
Yeah, I mean, they scored 24 points in the second half, man. What can you say about what they were able to do? Patrick Mahomes ended the first half with, what, 126 passing yards? But my takeaway from this is it's time to stop questioning whether or not Jalen Hurts is an elite quarterback. That's my takeaway, because he literally showed the way he will kill you in three different ways, right? He is the ultimate triple threat, right? Because he'll run the ball. He had three rushing touchdowns, which was the most by a quarterback in the Super Bowl. He had 60-plus rushing yards. But then you look at the dimes that he was dropping as far as throwing the football, but then he got the mental part of it. Unforced error, right, with the fumble. Nick Bolton picked it up and returned it for a touchdown, but then he came back the very next drive, led them to a score. And then the Chiefs took the lead late, and he came back and led them to another touchdown. So, for me, that's my takeaway. Don't doubt Jalen Hurts. He's a quarterback, and he's one of the best out there. And don't give me that, you know, Justin Herbert is better and all that other stuff. Jalen Hurts is an elite quarterback, top five, and there's no question about it.
We're talking with TD. Teron. and you're right, because Caroline and I had the discussion this morning, and I said he was more so trending toward an elite quarterback. But I wanted to make a point to everybody. Listen, he has the unique thing about him is this. He goes to Alabama and he learns how to be a winner, just pure winner and a leader. He learns how to be that. Then he leaves Alabama, and we understand why, because they had Tua, and Tua was the next best thing. And listen, they won a championship with him. But Jalen was a part of that because of what he did in the SEC championship game, coming in and spelling Tua and winning that game for them. But he learned how to be a winner and a leader with Alabama, but he learned how to be a passer when he went to Oklahoma. Yes. And you just saw it sort of materialize over last season and this season. I think we're so quick sometimes to anoint certain guys as elite, but then other guys, we got to, well, wait till he does this. Wait till he do this. Well, anybody can, you know, take that offense and win a Super Bowl or get to the Super Bowl with that offense. Not necessarily, because they can't do all the things that Jalen can do within that offense. They probably can pass, but they can't run. They probably can run, but they can't pass. They probably can run and pass, but they're not a leader like he is, and that's what he's shown.
Yeah, exactly. And that's one of the things that Dan Orlovsky said the other day. It was Dan Orlovsky. He said that no one is asked on a play-by-play basis to have more decision-making than Jalen Hurts. And you look at how that offense is orchestrated, there's typically three to four immediate, almost like first reads that you got to make. And he just does it so smoothly, whether it's, you know, the read option, RPOs, and those different things. And I think you're right. and that's where he kills them with the mind, and that's a very underrated aspect that he brings to the table.
Now, another thing that I found interesting in this, not necessarily in the game, but after the game, and I don't know if many people picked it up. I texted the team after it was said. Andy Reid went out of his way to make sure Eric Bieniemy's name was said before anything else, because as he's coming up and they're interviewing him and he's talking about how good, but he mentioned, hey, Eric Bieniemy. I think that was done for a specific reason, whether it was, you know, line him up, set him up perfectly for when Andy chooses to retire so he can be the head coach, or it helps him when he wants to go further, if he wants to go to another team to be an OC or a head coach.
Yeah, no, I agree. And it's just interesting to me how Eric Bieniemy, he almost has to go someplace else to prove himself. That's what they're saying, you know, when you see him connected to all these different offensive coordinator jobs. But ironically, Matt Nagy didn't have to do it. Doug Peterson didn't have to do it. The whole, hey, not calling plays, that didn't come into the mix when you were talking about those guys. But suddenly for Eric Bieniemy, it does. And I think it's a crime that he's not even, you know, being considered for these head coaching jobs. I mean, he's someone that should have been the first option. You know, you got Mike Kafka in the running for a couple of head coaching jobs, and that was the quarterback's coach under Eric Bieniemy, and then the OC with the Giants. And last time I checked, the Giants weren't lighting the world on fire. So, yeah, I love that Andy Reid is pushing Eric Bieniemy as a, you know, a guy. And then you look, so this is another thing, D-Mates, that I really picked up that I like. Those two touchdowns that they scored with Sky Moore and also with Kadarius Toney, that was found by Eric Bieniemy. He went back in his film study and he watched earlier in the year where the Jaguars had played the Eagles and they had Jamal Agnew in motion like that. And he saw how they bumped their coverage over top. And he said, oh, wait, you know what? If we use the yo-yo motion like this, that guy's going to be wide open because they're overcompensating for the jet sweep. And here, lo and behold, 14 points of that 38 that they scored came right from his brain. That's head coaching material, if you ask me.
The play design that they score on, where they score as easily as they do sometimes, it has you going, wow, that is true genius. Putting the right guys in the right spot. You know, the one, I guess, wide open, like nobody near him. That's so interesting, that close to the goal line. Teron Davenport is with us. Teron, another thing, and it was funny. There was a lot of wisecracks with the groups. I was with two different groups, one for each half, but they all kept saying the same thing. It's just like the knife is twisting. We're watching A.J. Brown. He does things that so few other receivers can do, the special skill set that he has, and it just stings a little bit more probably for because most of the people I was watching with were Titans fans, and you're like, man. Like the further you get removed from it, the more it hurts a little bit.
Yeah, it does hurt for Titans fans, you know, seeing a guy out there making plays the way that he was. That touchdown that he scored was beautiful, you know, ran right through that attempt at contact.
Oh, it was beautiful.
Warded him off and the late hands. I mean, it was really great to see, and that was a perfect drop shot by Jalen Hurts.
So, Teron, what should we be looking for now? I know there's some guys, looks like, you know, the Colts are going to have their new guys. What is next on the agenda here as you look at the Titans' way? Now that things settle down, we start looking closer and closer to free agency. What are you most looking forward to?
Yeah, well, we got the combine in a couple months. A couple weeks. That's obviously something to look at. But I think really the first things first is watching what teams are going to do as far as salary cap situations are concerned. That's when you'll have the immediate decisions, right, where you'll see, you know, how this Titans team is going to go about Bud Dupree, Taylor Lewan, Robert Woods, Ryan Tannehill, you know, and that's when we'll see Rand Carthon's plan really start to come to fruition. So that's what I'm watching, just the jockeying and positioning to be able to sign players when the league year starts on March 15th.
Do we think John Robinson will have a new gig sometime in the next few months? Do you think he'll latch on with somebody? Or any way to gauge that right now?
Not really any way to gauge it. You're not hearing his name connected to anything, but I do think he'll have a job at some point. A lot of times with these GMs, right, you know, they tend to just kind of lay low and then they'll come on as a, you know, VP of player personnel or some type of role like that, you know, a year or so later. I mean, you look at Trent Baalke, that's what he did with San Francisco, you know, going to Jacksonville. But then you have some guys like Rick Smith, who has just been out of the league for whatever reason. Jerry Reese, you know, just out of the league despite doing excellent jobs putting together a roster.
TD is with us. TD, I know the Colts are expected to hire Shane Steichen as their next head coach, and that has been a head coaching process that has been so incredibly long and drawn out. But what do you know about Shane Steichen, and what do you make of that hire in Indianapolis?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's interesting because he was there. I believe it was a QB coach there with the Colts, and he's the OC with the Eagles. If I'm not mistaken, Nick Sirianni was calling the plays. So, ironically, another case of a guy that doesn't get the not calling the plays moniker placed on him while it's placed on Bieniemy. But I know that he's really good working with quarterbacks, and that's, you know, something that they're going to really have to have, right, because they're going to use a high pick on a quarterback, whether it's, you know, one, two, three, or four, wherever they end up picking. So that's what I know. He's a guy that is looked at as a quote-unquote QB whisperer. So we'll see how that works out if they do go about hiring him.
Now, TD, there's been rumblings about the Titans inquiring about the Chicago's number one pick. Do you think it was necessarily about the number one pick or where Chicago will ultimately land? Because I think Chicago trades out of that pick, but they still will be a top 10 pick. If the Titans can talk to them about potentially moving up after they make that first move out of number one, whether it's from number one to number five and number one to number four, then the Titans, you know, sort of get in a conversation with Chicago again, like, hey, listen, this is what we're offering to move up to maybe the fifth spot, and you move down to the 11th.
Yeah, I think it was one of those things where you have to make the call, right, just to get a gauge on what it would cost to move up there. And I think you have to know that in case you end up falling in love with a C.J. Stroud, with a Bryce Young. And a lot of times, you know, with these quarterbacks, it's the meeting, right? You can look and watch that they can play, but it's the meeting. And like, wow, this guy has that moxie. And that's one of the things that, you know, for me, talking to Jalen Hurts that year that he was drafted, I was like, man, this dude, he's legit, man. And you could just tell he's someone that would get in the huddle and 10 other guys are going to follow him. So I think that's really what they're doing, is positioning themselves in case that is something that they end up doing.
And last one for you, TD. I mean, the Chiefs have been to three of the last four Super Bowls. They've won two of the three. Are we seeing the next great dynasty in the NFL, or do we need to cool it with the D word?
Yeah, I think the dynasty word is something that you can't really throw out there now because free agency is crazy. You got such turnover. And, you know, fortunately for them, they're able to maintain the Eric Bieniemy situation. It helps the Chiefs because he's back year after year after year because he's constantly overlooked. So, I mean, this is probably the closest you could get to a dynasty. This is a team, you know, they've been to three Super Bowls in the last, what, 5 years? And we know, hey, look, you want to go to the Super Bowl, going out of the AFC, you're going to have to find a way to beat the Chiefs. And that's really what it boils down to. And Patrick Mahomes is the best quarterback in the league. I don't want to hear that nonsense about Josh Allen, Joe Burrow, or anyone else, and especially not Justin Herbert. It's Patrick Mahomes and then a group of other people, period. And in my opinion, he's a top five quarterback of all time. And as long as you have that, you got a good chance. So, yeah, I'm not going to say dynasty, but they're in great shape.
TD, we appreciate you for joining us. What can we look forward to on Talking with TD this week?
Yeah, you know what? I'm not sure exactly what we're going to do on Talking with TD this week. I mean, we may get into some draft talk. I don't know what we're going to do, but, hey, you can look forward to a fun and entertaining show, that's for sure.
No matter what it is, I know it's going to be a good one. Appreciate you, TD. We'll chat with you next week.
For sure. Take care.
All right, hey, moving is no fun and can be expensive, so you can save on your next move with our Nashville's Best Deal of the Week from Black Tie Moving. Get $200 off a half-day move for just $75 or $400 off of a full-day move for $150 at thegamenashville.com/deals. Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.